Our scripture reading this morning, taken from John, chapter 10, verses 7 to 9. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and go out and find pastures.
Once again, I praise God that each one of us are here today. Our visitors are here to join. Pray that we know that our God, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has called us here to be with our Lord, to worship Him, to honor and glorify Him in our daily lives in giving the gospel message. So I thank the Lord once again. Well, as always, we can talk about the weather. Good conversation piece to start, you know. So we know that the weather's coming up that we're going to have now this fall and in the winter. But yet we'll go back next year and we'll probably be complaining about this or that also. But then other things that's happened in the world with our governments and such. But really, I think the big news of this week, we all know what that is, the lotteries. $1 billion, plus if you won both of them. What a waste of money for the people. Especially for the people that don't have it, that spend money on lotteries in lieu of food for their families and their children. What these lotteries do to human beings, their lives. And I said in Sabbath school this morning, I wonder if some people don't even ask God to help them win it. But which is it, to win the lottery or to win Lord Jesus Christ in our lives, to have eternal life one day, to have all things made new, where there's no more sickness, no more death, no more worry. We see what water can do. We know that God destroyed this earth with water, covering the whole earth. And yet people and mankind even dispute that, whether it covered the whole earth or not. And we see what still today water can do with the hurricanes and tornadoes and floods that we have. And we're going to talk a little bit, not so much about the water again today, but the second part that I had of Noah's Ark and the picture of salvation. And last time I spoke about Noah and the saving of his family, going by the instructions that God gave him in preaching, giving the gospel for that 120 years while he was building the ark, in the actual building of the ark. And is there a day on earth when grace will end? And for whom? Or when does grace end for the earth? We'll look at that. So we're going to talk about the ark of salvation this morning. So we see that what God did for God, as he had asked him to, as he instructed him to. So we're going to look at the ark, which is the ark of salvation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just have a word of prayer. Oh, our God, give us the strength to endure, to overcome the calling of the world, to know that we may be safe in the ark of salvation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we just pray that you will guide our thoughts and our words, that we all allow you to guard our lives and to guide our lives on that pathway that leads to the eternal kingdom that has been promised to everyone who believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So this day, give us the strength that we need to truly be yours. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We'll be looking again today at Genesis chapter 6. All familiar, as we said, that a good share of the world knows about Noah and the ark and the flood. There's many that don't believe it, but that's their view that they have on it. But if we look at verses 14 through 16, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it up. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window that thou shalt make in the ark, and in it a cubit shall thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shall set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third stories shall thou make it. Yes, the instructions for Noah to build this ark. And regarding the ark itself, the explicit instructions given from God. And as we continue to verses there, specific reasons stated in verse 17. A specific promise given in verse 18. Specific passengers stated in verses 19 and 20, along with the special and specific cargo in verse 21. There's nothing really mysteric about this, or mystique about this story. It is a historical account of part of the history of this earth, and it really happened, whether someone believes it or not. It's no fantasy story made up to cover some moral. The ark that Noah built, it was God's blueprint, not man's blueprint. Man has a blueprint for everything, wants to take the credit for everything. But we know that God did not have Noah take credit for this. Noah did not. It was built according to the instruction that God gave to him. Do we take Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3 seriously about the creation, especially the creation of mankind? Do we take chapter 6 seriously about Noah and the ark? And if we do, we can conclude that God really spoke to Adam and Eve and spoke to Noah, telling him how to construct that ark of gopher wood. That a great flood was coming. How could the people really understand a great flood was coming when it had never rained? The watering of the earth was from dew in the morning. See that? And it was to cover the whole earth. You and I probably would have been skeptic about it ourselves if we were there, somebody telling us that that was going to happen. But today we do know what water can do, the damage that it can do. Not just the material things lost, but lives are lost due to it. So we look and see that. And God, did God really tell Noah to have these animals come in? But it wasn't Noah that brought them in. It was God that directed these animals to come into the ark. And the Hebrew word for ark is only used in two places in the Old Testament. And in both places, they basically means a box or a container. And it's significant that if we look at the other occurrence of that word found in Exodus chapter 2 and 1 through 3 about Moses, when it refers to the basket that his mother made and placed him in, and placed him in a bulrushes so he wouldn't be killed. And when it's also noted that the basket was covered in pitch, the same resinous material that Noah used for the ark. We know that the ark wasn't a motorboat. There was no rudder to steer it. We know that God did the steering amidst the waters. Noah just needed a boat that would float, which is exactly what God told him to build. And we know that Jesus Christ is the ark of our salvation. It said before they gave the measurements there, but actually we say today the length of it was 450 feet. The width was 75 feet. Height was 45 feet. And a little 18-inch window in the top of it. And the roof, now I don't know that. The Clear Word Bible has it that they made the roof and then there was an 18-inch space all around it to let the air in. We're not sure just what it was. And Noah was to take food, water, everything needed to be able to survive. And to think what that took, the amount of food needed, not to just feed Noah and his family, to feed the animals and the species that were in there. The bedding for those animals, how it was done for there, were there for at least a year in that ark. We know that God took care of everything for them so that they were preserved. See that. And we, if we look at the ark, we can see the spiritual lessons that come from that. That we got. We know that God judges sin, and it's been given to his son to judge. As we look at who perished, the entire antediluvian world, people except for Noah and his family. In that central message, we see that God is patient. He's long-suffering with man's rebellion, the outright rebellion, repeated blasphemy that he has. But we know that God's patience must come to an end as it did then. And it will come to an end here at the end of time. God will not always strive with man, Genesis 6:3. Even in judgment, we'll be able to see God's grace, his unmerited favor to man and to the world. The world perished. One man and his family was saved. God never leaves himself without a witness in the world all down through the ages. And that truth that we have through the word saves us from the despair of the evil that is in the world. People rising to power. Sin being openly praised. He said there's no sin today. We don't have to keep the commandments. But we have that great hope that we all may speak about. Of the gospel. Until that door was closed, anyone could have entered. The door was shut 7 days before the water started to come. People probably were criticizing it during that week. And they were ridiculing him, but then when their water started to come, they were begging, knocking on the door to be let in. While the door is open, there's a chance for mercy. Once that door is closed, there is no mercy. It ends. We look through from the very beginning, the door, the gate, or the entrance to Eden was closed to Adam and Eve. The door's down through the history of this world is either closed or open. We know that the door of our heart has to be open. See that? We know that the judgment will come when Jesus returns to collect his people. And I pray that each one of us will be there to be able to honor our Savior. The point is made in Matthew chapter 24 when Jesus compared the days of Noah to the days before his return. While Noah was building the ark, the people were unconcerned and remotely not even thinking about the divine judgment that was to come. It couldn't happen. In the last days, that same concern will be for most of the people. There will be no second chance, as many think. It has been told in Scripture that many people will be busy eating, drinking, playing, navigating the internet. In a few more years, many of these things that they are trying for now, everything going to be run, electric cars and all this other stuff. And every day they're coming up with something new with the phones and everything. How much is it going to be, you know, in a very near future? That will grab the attention of most of the people. Email, buying, selling, building, dreaming, winning the lottery. You name it. Mankind is trying for it. That keeps their minds off the Lord Jesus Christ. Doing everything but getting ready for the Lord's return. And I pray that each one of us are not in that group. Because we can make no mistake, that day is coming. Our Lord is coming for his people. And it's going to catch many unaware. And just as it certainly came in Noah's time, the day of judgment will come in the last generation, in these last days, sooner than anyone thinks. Many think that they can wait till later to make a decision, but you have to make that decision today, right now, to see that. And we know that the ark points to Jesus. Ellen White says it was Christ who kept the ark safe amid the roaring, seething billows because its inmates had faith in his power to preserve them. Review and Herald, March 12, 1901. That's quoted in the SDA Commentary, Volume 1, page 1091. And it leads to an all-important point that he is the ark of salvation for each and every one of us, for humanity, for everyone who believes in him. And also from the commentary, the ark is proof of the goodness of God. It is a refuge in a time of peril. It is a home for the homeless, a temple where the godly family of Noah worshiped. It bore them safely from the old world to the new, from an environment of vice and sin to an earth purified of sin. And the ark was God's appointed place of salvation. And outside of it was no safety. And as today, the ark of safety, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we can look at some points of comparison. Just as the ark was provided by God, Christ was sent from heaven as a gracious provision for our salvation. There was only one ark, and it had only one door. Noah wasn't told to buy four or to build four or five arks and let anyone who entered that would, for the people to make their choice. He said God never offered more than one door to the ark. When the door was shut, the Lord was inside with Noah and his family. And I said earlier, the door to a person's heart has to be opened when Jesus comes knocking to let him in, or he will not be able to come in. It's our choice, our will, whether we allow it or not. Only one ark, one door. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. The ark saved everyone who entered. And everyone who comes to Christ is saved. John 6:37. Anyone that comes to him in faith will not be turned away. So if we come to him in faith, we will not be turned away. And once that door was shut by God, as I said, no one else could enter. If a person doesn't open the door to his heart, Christ cannot enter. The Holy Spirit cannot abide. We cannot be the temple of God. We have that invitation to each and every one of us. They said once the door was shut, it couldn't be opened until after the flood. And today is a day of grace. The door of salvation is all to who will enter. And we can look at the thought, when the flood finally arrived, everyone inside was saved. Everyone outside was lost. It took a few days for that water to rise and that, you know, but it rained for 40 days. But yet, Noah and his family and animals had to stay in that ark. For it was not time for them to come out. When the flood waters rose, the skeptics knew at last that Noah was not crazy to have it, and they were panicked, but it was too late. And there will be a time for each and every one of us when it will be too late to give our hearts over to Christ if we wait. We have to do it now, today, and I pray that each one of us has. And the same thing will happen when Christ returns us. Final separation from good and evil, between the saved and the lost. Which side will we be on? And as we end today, one question remains. Are you in this ark of safety? Am I in the ark of safety? And it's not really about religion, or tithing, or good works, or anyone's religious background. Not about baptism, church membership, or even Sabbath school attendance. These things are small in value compared to the issue of eternal destiny. And our eternal destiny can be with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. Hard to comprehend. We don't even know what that can really mean or comprehend, to live forever, especially with our Lord Jesus Christ. Ever learning the plan of salvation. It takes us thousands and thousands of years and never fully understand what it truly means, the accomplishment of Jesus Christ here upon the earth in dying for us. So if Christ is in the ark, are you in Christ by faith? Or are you outside Christ because you have never trusted him? I pray that that's not the case. We all need to run to the ark. We have but a short time. Run to the ark of salvation. Put your trust in Christ. Be in the sheepfold. In the last verses, we go, if you turn to John chapter 10, already some have been mentioned here. But 11, 14, and 17. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We know that that happened on Calvary. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of them. Christ to know us, and us to know Christ. And 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And that we know that there's only one Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. And we all may be looking for that time when he will return. Whether we come from the grave, immortal, or we are caught up in the air, changed in the twinkling of an eye, we will see our Jesus once again to be with him. So I just pray that we will all be found in the ark of safety, the ark of the salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our gracious God, we thank thee for the ark of salvation, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Father, that one day we will be transported to heaven to sit down at the banquet table with our King. And nowhere we sit on that table, we will be able to see our King. And one day be presented to thee as we have never sinned, with our Lord Jesus Christ by our side. Thank you, Father, for the surety of salvation, the surety of eternal life, the surety of one day we will be seeing thee face to face. We pray now that we will be in that ark as we leave this place, go our separate ways for this day, but always remembering that we need to come back together to worship our God. For the Sabbath day will be with us for eternity. We pray and ask for these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Thank you. Father, amen.